Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Lu, coming up in this edition. The Israeli military has vowed to respond to Iran's missile attack, but Tehran says any retaliation will spark a harsher response. Day one of Donald Trump's historic hush money trial concludes without the selection of any jurors. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has met with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing. We begin with the Middle East. Israel's Army Chief of Staff says Iran will face consequences for its strikes on Israeli targets. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has summoned members of the War Cabinet to weigh their options. The members were reportedly divided on details of how they should respond to Iran's drone and missile attacks over the weekend. Meanwhile, their persistent international calls for peace, China was among the countries that urged restraint. U.S. officials say President Joe Biden has told Netanyahu that Washington will not take part in any Israeli counteroffensive against Iran. Alex Cadier has more from Tel Aviv.
What kind of response it will be? We've heard from Benny Gantz, who is a member of the War Cabinet, saying that it is now appropriate, or is now a time to build a regional alliance to exact a price from Iran. Now, that would be a slightly more longer-term strategy, but what we've heard from reporting in Axios and in the Wall Street Journal is that Yoav Gallant, the defense minister, told the U.S. defense minister, Lloyd Austin, that a response could, Israel has to respond, cannot ignore the ballistic missiles being fired at it on Saturday night. The question is what that response will be. Now, we understand that painful strikes, that it's being described by Israeli officials, could be being considered against targets in Iran that would not result in casualties. The big question then is what will Iran's response be? They've already said any retaliation from Israel will generate a stronger response than the last one. The global community calling on Israel and Iran to exercise restraint in this situation. The big question is whether or not an Israeli strike, limited though it may be, will further this escalation, or if both sides will be able to keep their powder dry in the days and weeks to come.
Now with Alex Cadier reporting. Iran says any future attack from Israel will spark a harsher response. Tehran also said Western countries should appreciate its restraint. Hassan Kivani reports.
Iran says its Saturday evening operation against Israel was the exercise of its inherent rights to self-defense as outlined in Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations and recognized by international law. It says it first tried diplomatic efforts to hold Israel responsible for the armed attack against Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st.
The United States, Britain and France opposed a UN Security Council statement that would condemn the attack on Iran's embassy compound in Syria.
Iran says its response to Israel was a limited operation with minimum force only to secure its right to legitimate defense and to punish Israel. Since Tehran's operation, the world has been waiting for a possible counterattack by Israel. However, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi cautioned Israel to avoid what he called any new act of adventurism. Otherwise, it would receive, quote, another blow much harder than the retaliatory strike that Iran launched. Iran also warned the U.S. that if Washington enters the confrontation and supports Israel, Tehran will consider all the American bases in the region as military targets. After Iran's retaliatory attack on Israel, the general atmosphere in Iran is calm. All flight restrictions of the airports across the country have been lifted, and people are relieved that there is no war, at least for now. Iran's foreign ministry says during the retaliatory attack, the country hit an intelligence center inside Israel, which had been used to lead all the anti-Gaza operations since October last year.
It is impossible to be worried about peace and security in the region and at the same time to ignore 7 months of Israeli violations, war crimes and genocide in Gaza and the West Bank.
Iran says Israel has now learned that Iran's strategic patience is over and any further violence will not go unanswered.
That was Hassan Kivani in Tehran. In North America, Day one of former U.S. President Donald Trump's hush money trial has ended without the selection of any jurors. The presumptive Republican nominee for this year's presidential election is facing felony counts of falsifying business records in an effort to silence a porn star. Trump has denied the charges. This is the first of four criminal cases against him. Karina Mitchell examines what's at stake.
It was an historic first day, that as for the first time in America's history, a former U.S. president facing a criminal trial. In the morning, when Donald Trump arrived to the courthouse, he did not look happy. He stopped to make brief remarks before going inside to the courtroom, including saying that this trial was an assault on America. Now, there were a flurry of motions that happened early in the day. Jury selection started later. Nine jurors were questioned. The defense team, Trump's team, is very worried about getting an impartial jury. That's because the pool they can pick from includes Manhattan residents only. New York is known to be, you know, swing Democratic. However, Manhattan even more so. And that's why they wanted to move this trial to Staten Island, which veers a little bit more Republican. That did not happen. Jury selection can make or break a trial, so it is imperative to be meticulous. 96 jurors came into the first pool. As I say, nine were questioned. Most of them dismissed themselves, saying they could not be impartial. It is expected to take about a week to seat the jury. Trump himself faces 34 felony counts tied to falsification of business records. Each of those carries a maximum sentence of 4 years. Nobody thinks he's going to get the maximum. The consensus is he will get anything from probation to 4 years if he gets any prison time at all.
That was Karina Mitchell outside the courthouse in New York. The FBI says it has opened a criminal probe into the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. It aims to determine whether the crew of the container ship that crashed into the bridge knew about the vessel's problems before the deadly collision. Meanwhile, divers have recovered the body of a fourth victim from a construction vehicle underwater. A cargo ship lost power and ran into the bridge on March the 26th, causing the bridge to collapse into the water and killing six people. Benji Heyer has more on the legal issues.
Agents from the FBI headquartered here in Washington embarked the Dali ship on Monday to conduct court-authorized law enforcement activity. That's according to the FBI's Baltimore field office spokesperson. 3 weeks on from the tragedy, they're assessing if the 22-man crew who are still on board knew of the ship's issues prior to setting sail. The Dali was last inspected in 2023 by the U.S. Coast Guard in New York. No deficiencies were found at that time. Now, this probe is set from the ongoing National Transportation Safety Board's investigation into the cause of the disaster. Investigators there are focusing on the electrical system of the vessel, which failed, causing it to veer into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, knocking down the entire structure. The NTSB is expected to release a preliminary report in a few weeks, having retrieved the ship's voyage data recorder, though a final report could take up to 2 years to produce. On Monday, we also heard the city's mayor is seeking legal action against the Dali's owner and manufacturers for any damages to the city and its economy. And attorneys representing the families of some of those who died in the collapse told media outlets they're conducting their own independent investigation.
That was Benji Heyer in Washington, D.C. In Africa, Morocco's second largest reservoir is drying up. The El Masira Dam, which sits about halfway between Casablanca and Marrakech, serves some of the country's major cities. It's vital for agriculture. However, figures reveal it contains just 3% of the average amount of water that was there 9 years ago. Adnan Chirauchi reports on the impact on farmers and herders.
Abdullah Zahbi rears sheep on his land near Rabat. However, he says it's getting more and more difficult to provide his flock with water and fodder. He says regular droughts and low water levels at the El Masira Reservoir threaten herders in the whole region.
The water reservoir means life. Without rain, the dam is empty and the water scarcity impacts the whole food chain. Sheep are grazers. They need pastures. Grazing isn't an option due to droughts. While hay and barley are very expensive, it's impossible to feed and maintain my cattle.
According to World Bank data from 2020, agriculture accounts for nearly 90% of water consumption in Morocco, and farmers have been hit hard by the drought. Hassan Werdi cultivates wheat and barley. He says hotter seasonal temperatures and the lack of rainfall have devastated crops.
The successive years of drought in Morocco are impacting us negatively. Feeding cattle and cultivating lands depends on water. No rainfall has ever been recorded until March. I am still hopeful for some rain in April to save this season. Otherwise, it will be a catastrophic yield.
Morocco's Minister of Equipment and Water, Nizar Baraka, said water desalination remains a priority for managing the nation's water deficit. However, environmental experts say desalination plants are only a temporary solution to the water crisis in many cities and farming communities.
Moroccan authorities aim to preserve the available water resources and to improve the distribution of water. Seawater desalination is among the top priorities to provide some of the country's water needs for agricultural and drinking water. The objective is to desalinate up to 1,700,000,000 cubic meters of seawater by 2027.
The El Masira Dam serves as a vital water source for major cities in Morocco and is crucial for farm irrigation in the region. Six consecutive years of severe drought have led to unprecedented temperatures and increased evaporation at the main water reservoirs across the North African country.
That was Adnan Chirauchi reporting. Finally, turning to Asia. Chinese President Xi Jinping has urged China and Germany to develop bilateral ties from a sustainable and strategic point of view. He met German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing and called on both sides to work together to bring more stability and certainty to the world. President Xi stressed that mutually beneficial cooperation between China and Germany is not a risk but an opportunity for the future. The president also reaffirmed that China's opening up and expressed hope that Germany would provide a fair and open business environment for Chinese companies. Scholz said he was impressed by the cooperation between Chinese and German companies during his visit to other Chinese cities in the previous days. He said Germany opposes confrontation and is willing to work with China on issues including climate change and safeguarding multilateralism. Biran has more from Beijing.
German Chancellor Scholz has arrived in Beijing and he met with Chinese President Xi Jinping and discussed bilateral relations and common concern, according to China's foreign ministry. And we know Beijing, the third stop of his visit, Shanghai, the second stop of his visit. And we know Shanghai is a financial hub and it's also a window and gateway to attract foreign investment. And in Shanghai, Scholz met with business representatives from the headquarters of many German companies, for example, Siemens, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Bayer. And they discussed the local market's potential and opportunities, as well as challenges and competition they are facing there. And Scholz also visited Chongqing University, one of China's most prestigious educational institutions, which was founded by a German doctor back in 1907. And Scholz discussed a youth development and bilateral relations with students and academics from the university.
That was Biran reporting. Recapping today's headlines. The Israeli military has vowed to respond to Iran's missile attack, but Tehran says any retaliation will spark a harsher response. Day one of Donald Trump's historic hush money trial concludes without the selection of any jurors. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has met with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Beijing. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.